All right, how many are ready today for the power? Are you ready for the power? How many, the power is a good thing? I remember last year when we lost power, the ice storm. I mean, I'm talking about it. How many know the power is a good thing? Amen? Power is a real good thing. I know the right before Christmas when we had all that ice coming and rain coming, I was like, I went out there and got my portable heater, filled it up with, you know, with kerosene, got it ready. My kids are like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting ready just in case we lose power. It's good to have this thing all ready to go. And so I'm glad I didn't need it. But today it is good that we all need power. And how many of us live our life without plugged into the full power that God has for our life? Isn't that so true? That we walk around and we live our life so empty of what God really wants to do in our life. And today we know we've been talking in this series, was we just started a couple weeks ago, Do You Have Power? And the first thing we talked about in the series was, does God really need me? Does God need me? And the question was, no, God doesn't really need you, but he chooses to. Because God is all-powerful. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's all-sufficient, self-sustaining. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to need us. And that's a big difference today. He doesn't have to have us, but he chooses to use us and chooses to need us. And why is that important? Because we know that God wants to bring his power through us. That God wants to use his power through us. He wants to partner with us. And this last week we talked about, does God really want me? And we proved in Scripture, and we looked in Scripture how much that God really wants us, how much he really wants to partner with us, how much God really loves us. And the fact that, as I said earlier today, and we said this last week, the fact that God knew in advance, because he's all-knowing, in advance he knew that you and I would sin. He knew that this world would fail. And the fact that he knew it would take his son to redeem us, and he created us anyway, tells us how much he loves us. I mean, if you can't get that anything, you got to get that through your system this morning. God really loves you, and God really needs you, and God really wants to partner with you and I in this world. That's what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to plug in his power. And so many of us walk around, when's God going to do something in my marriage? When's God going to do something to my family? When's God going to do something to my health? When's God going to do something? And we're like, we know God's got the power, because that's not the problem. We got the knowledge of knowing God's got the power. And God's saying, you know what? When are you going to do something so I can release the power? Because we find out in Scripture that God always moves when we move. That God always is looking for somebody just to step up and say, God, I believe. God, I'm going to trust. God, I'm going to put your word into action. And we see anything great in the Scripture that was ever accomplished became because what? Because somebody moved the heart of God. Because somebody was praying. Because somebody was believing. Because somebody was acting in faith. Something happened that moved the heart of God. And when people move, God releases his power through them. And so that's what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to release in our life a power. And so today, we know this, that God's not, we pray this prayer. We want to move a God. We want to move a God. We want to move a God. And we do want to move a God. But I believe today God's praying this. I want to move a people. I want to move a people. I want to move a people. We got to, well, yeah, that's good. That's good right there. I can preach that sermon every week for the next 12 weeks. And it couldn't be preached enough. Isn't that right? We know this. God is looking for people who want to move. God's looking for people who want to trust him. People who are looking to tap into the power that he's wanting to give us. And so today we're going to talk about this power. And talk about the power of faith. The power of faith. Now, science says in order to understand the forming of anything, there's five things we must understand. Now, some of you remember this from college or from high school. If you haven't got it already, kids, take a note. You'll be getting this real soon, okay? Teenagers, write this down. You know, this isn't really that much theological, but today it doesn't sound that exciting, but the second part of this is exciting when you understand this. Science tells us that there's five things to understand the format of anything, the forming of anything. There's five things that we must, first of all, understand. There's five things that must be given for us to understand the formation of anything. First of all, the timing, the force, the action, the space, and matter. Science says for the understanding of any formation of anything, these things must be there. This is how we produce this thing's really real. How's the formation? This is the scientific formula that kind of goes to anything that's formulated, okay? Timing, force, action, space, and matter. You say, Pastor, why does that have relevance to us? Well, let's open up to the first book of the Bible. What's the first scripture it says there? In the beginning. Bring it up. God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the timing, the force was God. The action was he created, and the space was in heavens, and the matter was the earth. How many know scientists now catching up with what God knew all along, okay? God had this figured out a long time ago, and science is now verifying what we've known all along, okay? And you say, why is this important? Because in our life, we know this, that without God, without the force, we're without power. And that we walk around our life wanting to formulate things, there's things that wanted to happen, and they're not coming to fruition in our life because we are not using the force, the power that God has us. How many of the force needs to be with you? Some of you Star, that's some of you, yeah, you know what the Star Wars fans, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Star Wars force, I'm talking about the God's force. And God is wanting to be with us. God is the force to be reckoned with in our life. God is the force that brings power source of our life. God is the source of power. He's the source of understanding. He's the source of comfort. He's the source of healing. He's the source, oh, come on. He's the source of redemption and grace. God is the source in our life that is wanting to unleash the power that he wants to do in our life. So yes, God wants me, and yes, God chooses to use me. And today he wants to use his force in my life. He wants us to use it. And how do we connect with that force? It happens through faith. Faith is the avenue that God uses for us to plug in to his power source. Faith is where we partner with God. And the partner part is really good because we're so good at partnering with God all the time. How many know we're good at partnering with God? Hey, God, I got these plans. Come over here and join me. God, I've got this plan. I got the 5-year plan. God, you step into my 5-year plan right now. God, I got it rolled out. God, yeah. We want to partner with God all the time, but we expect him to be the one to partner with us. And we've got it all wrong. We've got it all wrong. We are to partner with God. And that's where the power comes from. When I get in on with his plan. Oh, come on, somebody. When I get into his plan. When I get into his dream. When I get into his purpose. When I get into his will. Then the power is released in my life to do things I couldn't do on my own. When I get into his power, then the power of my vision comes to pass because he's given it to me. You understand what's happening? It's not, God, here's my vision, and you jump on. No, I get into what God is doing and get into the power. It takes faith to do that. Faith is not God joining me. It's me joining God. Faith is how we receive our power. Hebrews 11, we're going to stay most of there today. Let's look at Hebrews 11. And let's pick it up here in verse 8. And we realize there's four things in this next couple of verses I want to point out to you. There's four things, four active things we must do, four active ways that we keep faith alive in our life and for it to become something that God wants to use in power. First of all, it's obeying. We just looked at that, and it's obeying. First of all, it's obeying. Let's read Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham what? He obeyed. Now, if you don't know what Hebrews 11 is, this is the Hall of Fame of faith, okay? If you have never read this chapter, go back and read it again. Not right now, when I'm preaching, okay? Some of you right now are going to go back, this is good. Yeah, I know it's good, but read it on your own time, okay? But this is a great Hall of Fame of talking about the people of faith in the Bible. It talks about how they acted in faith. And this is talking about another person right here, Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, the first part of operating in faith is obeying. We see here that the first thing Abraham did when God spoke to him was what? Abraham obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. How many know that faith is not a blind leap? You ever heard someone talk about faith is just a blind leap? And I know we think that because we know that faith, you think, you know, I just can't always see it. But faith is not a blind leap because faith is, I see it in the spiritual before I ever see it in the natural. And so even though I may not see it in the natural, in the spiritual, I'm already seeing it. And faith is saying, God, I believe in you because I see it already. I see the answer already. I see the vision already. I see the promise already. I see the restoration already. I see the healing already. I see the miracle already. And I'm seeing it in my spirit. I mean, I see it in the natural, but in my spirit, I know it. And I'm being obedient to what God wants me to do. When God tells me to move, I got to move. Because when God tells me to do something, I got to do what God is calling me to do. Because faith is always starts with obedience. Faith is seeing it in the spiritual long before you see it in the natural. I know that when we started Destiny Church, that in the natural, it didn't look like a lot. I had the money to rent the room at the Holiday Inn for 1 week. We were big time. Oh, yeah, 1 week. We had 1 week's of rent, and it came out of my pocket. And I didn't know where the rest was going to come from. We were partnering with Foursquare, had come to us and had said, we're going to partner with you, but there's only a certain part. We got to get the church to a certain size before they partner with us and begin to help us with a little bit of funds starting the church off. But when we first started, we had to get it going ourselves. And we're like, all right, God, you know, I believe, I see that place full. I can see that banquet room full long before it was ever full. Daryl, I can see the place full long before it was ever full. Daryl understands what I'm talking about here. Where's Carlos at? Carlos, I remember when you go get those stages at 7:30 in the morning. You drive across town, get that trailer full of stages, and go back over there. Where's Mike Scott? Where did Mike go? Remember when you go get that trailer and pull all the equipment over there early in the morning? We meet you over about 7:30, and we get to setting up. We were setting up long before we knew anybody was going to show up. It was something that happened. We seen it in advance. I remember when this building came open to us. We didn't know how we would make it happen. We didn't know how we were going to remodel. We didn't know how it was going to get the chairs. We didn't know how we were going to get people in this place to be able to afford it. But when God spoke, we obeyed. We stepped out in faith. And now look around today. There's not many empty seats here, is there? Things are filling up fast. We know that we always don't see it in advance in the natural. There comes a time when you got to see it in the spiritual and be obedient to move what God is calling you to do. That God, when God calls you to do something and he speaks to you, you got to be quick to obey. That's faith. Faith is also hearing it in the spiritual before you hear it in the natural. Now people come to me all the time, brother. Oh, God's blessing. Oh, it's a great thing. God's doing good things. When I first started off, do you know what you're doing? It's tough out there. Are you sure you can make it? You ain't got a building. You ain't got very many people. What are you doing? I wasn't hearing very good things there, but now you know, people come along. But, you know, faith is hearing it in the spiritual long before you hear it in the natural. Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about today. Some of you are waiting around to hear it in the natural, and God said, no, I want you to hear it in the spiritual first. Some of you, I'll move, God, when you speak, and it's confirmed by my mom. And God said, your mom's got a lot of wisdom, but there comes a point in your life where I want you to step out in faith. There comes a point where he's stepping you out, and he's calling you to be obedient. Some of us here, you know what I'm talking about. That God's already moving your heart to step out and do some things. Some of you here right now, you need to be leading the small group. You need to be hosting a small group in your home. And God's been dealing with you for over a year to do it. Some of you say, Pastor, did my husband talk to you? No, he didn't, okay? But I know in my heart that God is dealing with people to step out and to do something different and to step out and be obedient. We're waiting. Well, when they come and ask me personally, then God, I'll know it's your will. No, God's wanting you to step out. He's wanting you to do something. Some of you need to be at that nursing home ministry next week. God's giving you the gift of love on those people who need to be loved on. People who are in wheelchairs and people who don't have much family and they're in those nursing homes. God's called you to go there and you've been fighting it for 6 months. God's looking for somebody to be obedient, for you to step out and do what he's calling you to do. There's something that happens with obedience that releases a faith to God. How many know experience is not the best teacher? Faith is. Do you realize that? Experience is not the best teacher. Faith is. I'm glad today that, how many know that when we try to teach our children not to play in the road, what's the best way for them to learn this lesson? To trust me and to obey? Well, just let them go out there and play in the road and learn by experience. That wasn't a good, very good idea, was it? No, we don't want our kids to learn by experience. And sometimes it happens that way. Experience causes us a lot of pain, doesn't it? The experience, learning through experience is a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of agony. Well, I shouldn't have dated that guy. I wish I'd listened. You know, we got to listen. We don't know that, but there's a faith that comes through obedience. If I learn to walk in faith, I will save myself a lot of heartache. If I learn to be obedient in faith, I'll save myself a lot of pain. God is wanting for us to step out in faith and to walk in obedience. What area do you need to obey in? That's the question I have for you today. What area do you need to obey in? What area is God calling you to obey in? You know, I can just tell you right now that over the next few weeks, you're going to be hearing me share some vision with you, and I'm excited about sharing the fresh vision God's given us. And I was talking to our church council, and I was talking to them about where we're going, and I was sharing the vision I believe God's put in my heart, and I was telling them I was really at the place where I said, God, you're just going to have to really, really push us to make a move because I do not, God, want to move until you say so and all this stuff, you know. And God said, I really want to be comfortable. For what I was saying was, God, I want to be comfortable for a little bit, okay? God, I really want to be comfortable where I'm at for a while. And then when we have to make a move, we'll make a move. And I just tell you, God is speaking. God is speaking. And he's kind of getting me uncomfortable again. But God, Gene, I never called you to be comfortable. I never called you to be comfortable. That there's some things I want you to expand the vision. I want you to expand the growth. I want you to expand some things that I'm calling you to do. And I tell you, it's not easy. But I tell you what, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be doing what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do as a church. We're going to go forward with fresh vision. We're going to go forward. And man, I tell you what, this is what I know in my heart. We have tackled the lion and we've tackled the bear, and God's been faithful. And so when we tackle Goliath, God's going to be faithful. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Let's give God a hand clap. Amen. I believe that today. And it happens through obedience. Let's quickly go through these. Number two is dwelling. We see in Hebrews 11, 9, and 10. Look what it says. By faith, he dwelt in the land of the promise, as in the foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which was foundations, has its foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We know that Abraham not only was obedient, but he went there to the land of the promise before he had anything going on there. He just dwelt there in the land. He just put some tents out. All right, we're going to dwell here. God, you said you're going to give me all this land. And God, I'm going to dwell here. He was dwelling in the promise. There's something about dwelling in faith that moves the heart of God. Abraham dwelt in the land. He knew what he was doing, basically. If we could just translate it today, he made a commitment. He made a commitment. He made a commitment. It takes commitment when you operate in faith. It takes commitment. I tell you, if you're a new Christian, you haven't been saved a long time, maybe you've just been saved over the last few years, and I tell you, this is one of the most foundational principles you can learn. It's so important to your spiritual growth. It's commitment. This commitment. This commitment. And today we are in a society that teaches that commitment's really not that big of a deal. You just kind of float around and do what you want to do. And I would tell you, with God, commitment is a big deal. Commitment is a big deal. And we are committed to Him. That means that, you know what? I'm gonna be here when I can be here. I'm gonna serve when I can serve. And I'm gonna support what God is doing. I'm gonna get in and I'm gonna make a commitment. God, I want your best for me and my family. And God, we're gonna pitch our tent right here, God. We're gonna be right here. God, we're gonna be right here, God. We're gonna dwell right here where you are. We're gonna dwell right here where you are. And God, we're gonna be right here. I'm gonna be committed to your promise. I'm gonna be committed to what you're calling us to do. And today, God is looking for people who are willing to dwell. Dwell and say, God, I'm committed. I'm committed. Look what Psalms 23 says. It's not on the overhead, but let me tell you what it says. The end of that scripture says what? We read it all the time. 23rd Psalm. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall what? All the days of my life. And I will what? I will dwell. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that amazing? That surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in God's house. There's something about being committed. He's saying, I'm going to be committed to the things of God. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me because I am committed to the things of God. That's easy for us to say when things are going good. But when he wrote this, things were not going well. David was being hunted down. David was being hunted down by Saul, wanting to be killed, hiding in caves. And he writes out, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me because God, I am committed. I am dwelling in your house. I'm dwelling in your house. God, I make it a commitment to you. There's something about faith that draws commitment out of us. That it doesn't take much faith if we're not committed, does it? A faith is being committed through the good times and through the bad times. When I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. That I'm committed. As for me and my house, we're going to be committed. We're going to serve what God is calling us to do. We will serve the Lord. It's a dwelling. Faith takes dwelling. It takes obedience. Look what Sarah said here in the next verse in Hebrews 11. As we talk about the next point, judging. Judging. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, what? By faith, it's underlined, by faith, she judged him faithful. By faith, Sarah judged God faithful. Now, Scripture teaches us we're not to judge. I know that. Some of you think, Pastor, we're not supposed to be judging. He's talking about, that's a different part of what he's talking about. There comes a point when it's okay to judge things, okay? And one of the things we're called to judge is called to judge. God, you are faithful. God, I've already preconceived it. God, I've already know it right now. God, you are faithful. And God, in my heart, I know that you're faithful no matter what I go through in my life. If I will dwell in the house of the Lord, if I will commit and be obedient, God, you are faithful. I can tell you, I've gone through some really tough times in my life. I've gone through some things and it looked really dark, but I committed to the Lord. I committed to his promise. I stayed true to who he was. I dwelt in the house of the Lord. I obeyed, and God's promises are still fresh and new, and God works it out. Even when it looks bad, God works it out. Even when it looks like I don't see the way out, God works it out. Why? Because he is faithful. Even when I'm stupid, he is faithful. Even when I'm immature, he is faithful. Even when I make mistakes, he is faithful. Even, oh, come on. You know, my God is faithful. I'm not. But when I power with his force, when I put my natural with his super, it becomes a supernatural force that's alive, and he's well in my life. I judge ahead of time and knowing by faith that he is faithful. If faith is judging God faithful, then doubt is what? Judging God unfaithful. Wow. If faith is judging God faithful, then doubt must be the opposite of that. I must be judging God unfaithful. I don't know about you, but I know this in my own life. I don't want to doubt God unfaithful. I don't want that thought to ever cross my mind. I don't want my kids to ever even think that, to come into our home, that our God is not faithful. So as for me and my house, we're going to judge the Lord faithful. That, yeah, things may get rough. Yeah, things may be tough. But you know what? Our God is faithful. And I judge ahead of time that he is faithful. Faith means judging God faithful no matter what the outcome. That takes faith, doesn't it? Because the outcome doesn't always look good when we're first looking at it. When I first look at things, I always don't see things according to the way that I want them to be. If I'm looking at the outcome, sometimes I don't see my way out. But I know what? I'm judging ahead of time. You know what? My God is faithful. And he will bring me out. He will carry me through. He will sustain me. He will place my feet back upon the rock as a solid foundation in my trust and my faith. That is faith. That's not a blind faith. I don't walk around, I don't know what God's going to do, but he's in charge. No, I know what God's going to do because I see it in the spiritual. That's not a blind faith. I see it. My God, I'm judging him. He is faithful. And he will work it out for good. I may not understand it now. It may hurt now. I may be in a lot of pain now, but my God is faithful. He will bring me through. And he will turn this thing that was meant for evil, he will turn it around and work it for good. I judge it ahead of time. My God is faithful. And the fourth thing, which is the last point, which is kind of ironic at this point, concluding. Concluding. Look what Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom he was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now we know Abraham was commanded by God to sacrifice his only son, the one that Sarah judged God faithful in and conceived as a promise. The one he dwelt in the land waiting on. Now God has given him the thing, has given him his son. Now God says, "I want you to offer him as a sacrifice." Look what, by faith, he didn't say by the natural, did it? He said, by faith, Abraham concluded that God was able. Some of us here right now, if we don't get anything else the rest of the day, you need to write this down. This would be a good thing for your Facebook page. Some of you right here. Concluding that God was able. You need to conclude that God is able, no matter what, that God is able. That Abraham had this conclusion, that God, you're able. If you're asking me to sacrifice him, then you are able to raise him back up from the dead. God, that's what he's thinking. Look what it says. He concluded, if God's asking me to sacrifice this as much as it pains me, God, you're going to raise this kid back up from the dead. He concluded that God was able. Now, let me tell you this. We operate in faith all the time. We just don't know it. Because we're always concluding things all the time. Some of you already this year concluded that your finances are not going to be any better than they were when you first started. Some of you already concluded, my children are never going to know God. Some of you concluded, my marriage is never going to get better. Some of you concluded that, you know what, my job is just going to stink the rest of my life. Some of you concluded, we're never going to get out of this house. Some of you concluded right now, I'm never going to get a new car. You've concluded things already. We're walking in faith all the time. But faith, according to what God's wanting us to do, is concluding, you know what, things are going to get better. I concluded my God is able. And when I get the foundation part of this, it says, you know what? God, you want me to partner with you. I conclude this, God. I conclude this, that if I put your word to the test of God, you're going to be faithful. God, I conclude this, that God, if I do my part, that you always do the supernatural. God, I know this part here, God, that when I give, it's given back to me, pressed down, shaking together, running over. God, I know this, as I lay hands on the sick in faith, God, that they shall recover. I know this, that all things work together for good. And so I'm concluding that, God, your best is still yet to come. God, I'm concluding my best years are still ahead of me. God, I'm concluding my children are going to know you. I'm concluding my home's going to turn around. I'm concluding my relationships are going to be put back together. I'm concluding my marriage is going to come back together. I'm concluding that God, this year, that God, you're going to do a miracle in my midst. I'm concluding, God, you're not done with me, but God, you're going to refire me. Not retire me, but refire me. Come on, God. I'm concluding some things. Somebody say, God, you're excited this morning, right, Gene? Yeah, that's right. You got it. It's hard not to get excited when we know what God is wanting to do in our lives. Concluding, Abraham concluded, God, is this what you want me to sacrifice? And I conclude that the best thing is going to happen out of this. I conclude that God, right now, it may be a painful thing that I sacrificed my son. But God, I'm concluding right now that the best is still going to come out of this. I'm concluding right now. We got to change the way we live our life according to faith. What area do you need faith in today? What area is God calling you to live faith in? You need to conclude that your God is faithful. Choose to obey. Choose to dwell there. Choose to conclude that my God will provide. Some of you have been saying it already this week. I've heard some of you just throwing out the numbers 316. Those of you who wasn't here, that's a message of hope. That's the new numbers we're living by. 316. In the study we've been talking about on Wednesday nights, we talked about this last week, how many dates step out to us. You know, 9/11 is the big one we really think about right now. It's a date of terror, and we think of that date as a big day of disaster. But God's wanting to change our number system. And anytime we're having those problems in our life, that we can say 316 is a new number of hope. 316, because God gave, he changed my life. Because God gave, he changed my life. Some of you have already concluded, you know what? I'll never be better than my parents. My marriage will never be better than what my parents had. Because I had a bad relationship with my parents, my kids are going to have a bad relationship with me. We've already got these things concluded. Listen, how many know as a Christian that all things become new? You're part of a new family now. You're part of God's family. And God's conclusion for you is better than you can ever think or conceive. God wants you to take off your limits. He wants you to take past what you can see in your natural eyes. He wants you to begin to look through spiritual eyes and say, you know what? I conclude that, and I judge ahead of time that my God is able to pull me out and bring me up. As I dwell in his promises, as I stay faithful and committed to who he is, and I obey what he's asking me to do, my God's going to bring me out. And my family will know the house of the Lord. My family will know his promises. My family will know God's best. My family will know that God loves us. My family will be restored to where God wants us to be. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, with every head bowed, I just want to ask you this question before we go any further in the service. If you hear and say, Pastor, you're talking about putting the faith in God and being obedient. Well, today I just need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you're like the two people last week that were here who said, that was me, it's my time. Several Sundays throughout the year, we have people who raise their hands who are ready to make that commitment. Maybe today's your chance. Maybe today God is speaking to you. Maybe your obedience starts right now. God is speaking to you. Your obedience starts right now by putting in the faith that, God, I'm ready to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to make heaven my home. I'm ready to step into a new spiritual dimension. I'm tired of just wandering my life aimlessly, but I'm ready today to step into a new relationship with Jesus Christ that forgives me, that redeems me, that saves me. I'm ready to confess him as Lord of my life and become a Christian. If you're here today and you never prayed that prayer before, I would not embarrass you in any way, but you want to pray that prayer? Or maybe you prayed that prayer and you've been just so far away from it and said, today, Pastor, I want to come back and I want to renew my relationship with Jesus. I want to come back and begin to live for him in a way I never have. About you today, can you just raise your hand? That's me. I'm ready to make sure. Thank you. Anybody else you want to raise your hand today? Thank you. Thanks for being honest, buddy. I appreciate it. Anybody else today? That's me. I want to join these other two. Thank you. Anybody else today? That's me. I'm ready to join these three today. I'm ready to join this tree today. Make the most important decision I've ever made in my life. A decision to be obedient to what God's calling me to be. First and foremost, that's a Christian. Today, let's all say this prayer together. We're going to say it out loud. Especially those who raise your hands today. Let's say this prayer. Say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give it to you today. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your love. I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sins. I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen." Those of you who prayed that prayer for the first time or renewing your relationship, we say, welcome, man, to the family of God. Let's give him a hand clap. Yeah. Before you leave today, we got a special pack in the back. It's got a free Bible and some other things for you to read. Just to tell you what to do next, make sure you stop in the back right there. Jean's got those for you, and she'll give those to you as you leave today. Let's all stand to our feet today. How many today say, "Pastor, I'm ready to tap into the power of faith in my life"? Are you ready? I hope this whole series is going to be powerful. I hope you are letting faith build up in your heart. You say, "Pastor, I'm ready to walk in obedience. I'm ready to get connected to God in a way and allow His force, His power to be alive in my heart in a way it never has before in my life. I'm ready to walk in faith." That's you today. Let's just raise our hands one more time. Say, "God, we're ready to receive it by faith today. God, by faith, Lord, we receive of you. By faith today, God, we believe that, God, and we conclude and we judge that, God, you are faithful. That, God, when we don't see it with the natural, we see it in the spiritual. And, God, we know that big things are in store, God, for what you've got planned for us. That's what your word says. We don't even know the plans, God, that you have in store for us. And, God, we're going to begin to judge differently. We're going to begin to conclude differently. That, God, things are going to work together for good. Things are going to work together for good for those who dwell in your house, those who are committed to you. And, God, today I pray, God, for a new outlook. Lord, for a fresh vision to be planted in their life. Lord, a fresh faith of obedience, of commitment, God, of faith, of judging you faithful, concluding, God, you're going to work it out. And God, I believe right now, today, that God, there's a fresh power of your Holy Spirit coming upon those, God, who are reaching out. And God, your Spirit is going to direct us and lead us. And God, is filling us today. And God, I pray right now, God, for a fresh anointing, God, to walk in faith. Lord, as we power, Lord, your power, connect with your power for what you're doing and want to do in this world through us. We say yes. By faith, we say yes, God. Use us, God. By faith, God, we want to partner with your vision for this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Listen, if you can be here Wednesday night, I know some of you can, but if you can be here Wednesday night, well, 7 o'clock, you don't want to miss out. It's been a great study. Things going on for the whole family. God bless you. You guys have a great week.